561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Folkston at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on an issue that I believe is very, very pertinent at this hour. Do you realize today, across the nation, is the National Day of Prayer? And I believe one of the greatest things we can pray for today is pray that God would divinely intervene, supernaturally intervene in this election process this year. That God would supernaturally intervene, and particularly here in the state of Florida. Other states have major issues. If you're in the state of Florida where there's an issue on the ballot that we will vote for in the next few months, Amendment 4, in particular, is a death bill. If Amendment 4 is passed, it will be signing the death warrant for thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, of unborn babies in the state of Florida. Death by way of murder by way of abortion is the highest number of deaths was in the state of Florida in 2023. The highest number. Death by way of abortion, murder of the baby in the womb. We'll be talking about that today. And our issue is simply called Choose Life. Choose Life. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 in particular, the scripture says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. We're living in a culture of death, the culture of death. Murder by way of abortion with the baby in the mother's womb. Murder by way of euthanasia for the old folks that cannot defend themselves. And we're finding that gap between the baby in the womb and the elderly in the hospital, or in hospice, as it is called today, that gap is getting closer and closer together as we find more and more of society, not just in the state of Florida, but across our great nation and nations around the world, that see no value in life. Listen, the Word of God says we're created in the image of God. God's Word says that every life is valuable. God's Word says, thou shalt not kill. And yet we find that being promulgated across the nation. And I believe that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as Christians, as pastors, as churches, to try to fend off the promulgation of death by abortion. We're going to talk about that today, but let me remind you, as we speak on issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said this, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. It has the first, foremost, and final decision on issues in life. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm finding more and more every day the applicability of George Orwell's statement, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you were to say today to a group that abortion is murder, they would want to challenge that. They'd say it's just a woman's right to health care, a woman's right to reproductive care. I just listened to a portion of Kamala Harris's speech here in Jacksonville from yesterday, and she was very, very definitive and directive that the state of Florida is in deep trouble, she said, because we're trying to prevent women from having reproductive health care. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not reproductive health care. It's murder. Murder by way of abortion. We've glorified the term. We have somehow modulated the term. We've taken out the term murder, the thought of murder. We just simply call it health care, reproductive care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an anathema. That is something that is absolutely not congruent with anything that we would call normality for a nation or for a culture. We have today those that deny truth, reject truth, want to bifurcate truth. Many of those that are pushing for the murder by way of abortion in the state of Florida and across our nation are those that fall into the category of what we call the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group. The millennials say, in the latest survey, 55% of them say there's no absolute truth. Everyone has his or her own truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not so at all. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss. John Huss made a powerful statement. In part, he said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. I believe it's time we as Christians, conservatives, patriots, pastors, churches, stand up and stand for truth, even if it puts our life on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor-powered equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those who want to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, after a very brief monologue, we're going to introduce a very special guest today. We'll be talking about a subject, choose life. Choose life. I believe that we need to recognize that's an alternative that we have, a choice that we have, a volitional decision that we have in America, and it's in every category of life and living. Choose life. I get a little wary with these folks that will say, for example, with an elderly person that's somehow, some way infirmed, they will say, well, I'm sure he wouldn't want to live as a vegetable. I'm sure he would not want to live in a some debilitated condition. The mindset ought to be choose life. There are those that will say, well, you know, she can't afford to have a baby. She can't afford to raise another child. Therefore, let's have an abortion. My statement is, go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Choose life. It appears, ladies and gentlemen, from all that we're seeing today in our great nation, from coast to coast, from sea to sea, born out of God's grace, we have a wonderful, wonderful nation that's called the United States of America. But our destiny is being determined today on so many fronts. Our destiny today is being determined by the election we will have in just a few months. Our destiny for America is being will be determined based on whether or not the nation's leadership bows to the socialist Marxist media, whether we bow or not to the Islamic jihadists, or whether we bow or not to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, or whether we bow to the murder by way of abortion. Those are issues that will determine the destiny of our nation. And I believe it's time that society, I believe our position as Christians in this society, that we need to reject, not embrace, these immoral, ungodly, unethical, unholy, woke, progressive lifestyles that's being pushed on us today. We need to be obedient to God's standard. God's word admonishes us clearly. Choose life, not death. Yet today in our fallen society, we're finding our local, state, national leaders, ladies and gentlemen, more than ever before, appear to simply ignore any biblical standards, ignoring any standards set forth for us, ignore the standards that were given to us in our Declaration of Independence, our founding documents, the Bill of Rights. We're ignoring those standards. We have left the narrow path of being obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in a nation today that's adrift. We are adrift, and we are, listen, we are at a crossroads in America, and we need to choose life and not death. And we're privileged today, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us an individual that I believe can answer some of our questions and give some guidance to this issue of what's happening in particular here in the state of Florida. We're delighted to have with us today Andrew Shirill. That's S-H-I-R-V-I-L-L. Ladies and gentlemen, I tried to recall the pronunciation. Maybe he'll clarify that for me. Andrew Shirill. Andrew is a Christian attorney, devoted his life and work to the ministry of saving babies' lives. Andrew has a ministry, Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to what God is going to say to our hearts through your voice as we talk about this issue of abortion in the state of Florida and what looms before us in the November election. Thank you for taking time out of a very, very busy schedule to join us on Let's Face the Issues.
Well, you're welcome, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you again for having me back on as a guest, especially on this National Day of Prayer.
It is a wonderful opportunity, I believe, for Andrew. This National Day of Prayer, and I believe our focus should be on that. When we start to wrap up this broadcast, time allowing, I want to ask you then to lead us in a prayer in the state of Florida for the lives of the unborn, that God will direct the hearts and the lives of every Christian that's tuned in, every conservative. It ought not to just be a Christian event or a Christian issue, Andrew. I believe it ought to be every conservative, every Christian, every patriot that's tuned into this broadcast today. It ought to be our focus to preserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as our Declaration of Independence tells us that we should have. But Andrew, for the benefit of our listeners that may not have heard you before, for those that may not have tuned in before, tell us about your ministry, your organization, and your passion.
Well, Florida Voice for the Unborn is a pro-life grassroots lobbying organization based in Tallahassee. We're a statewide group, and we only focus on issues that impact our unborn brothers and sisters. We are specifically Christian-based, non-denominational, and I have been a pro-life grassroots activist for more than 20 years, and I formed Florida Voice for the Unborn in January of 2020 because I really thought we need a strong apparatus to lobby our legislature for pro-life protections. And now, especially in the wake of Roe versus Wade's reversal, it's more important than ever that we truly make our Sunshine State abortion-free by closing down every single abortion facility within the state.
Absolutely. Andrew, I am passionate about the issue as you are. I'm concerned about the trajectory that we see in America today. And may I just ask you a question that's a hypothetical? It may not have a succinct answer, but as a result of the Supreme Court overturning a law, Roe versus Wade, 50 years of murdering babies because, quote, it was federally acceptable and legal, and after that was overturned, what, in your opinion, has caused the firefight across the nation and the frenzy by the woke left, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party in particular, that are so bent and determined to bring Roe versus Wade back into reality. What, in your opinions, caused that?
I think the left and the anti-Christian forces in general in this country never actually thought that the U.S. Supreme Court would actually take away Roe versus Wade. They thought that, as has been the case for the last 50 years, we would just be on the pinnacle of overturning the horrendous decision, but we'd never actually get there. So when the reality set in, especially when the U.S. Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs case leaked in May of 2022, we saw a ferocious reaction, intimidation tactics, protests, what they call protests, what I think was really just flat-out harassment of the U.S. Supreme Court justices at their residences and, in the public arena in general, so that they could manipulate the court into keeping Roe versus Wade. But praise the Lord, those justices stood strong for life, and they correctly held that the federal Constitution had no right whatsoever to access abortion within our, country's supreme document. And so they issued the Dobbs decision at the end of June of 2022. And now what you've seen is that the pro-abortion forces have turned their attention to the individual states, because what they want to do is they want to replicate what was once a federal countrywide right to access abortion and make it so that it's embedded in each state's governing document, specifically in each state's state constitution. So that's their game plan on how to get around the reversal of Roe versus Wade. But thankfully, that more than a dozen conservative red states in this country, with Texas being the gold standard, have almost immediately after the overturn of Roe versus Wade, enacted full legal protections for the unborn from the moment of conception without exception. And so that is a tremendous victory in of itself, because we now have states with millions and millions of Americans living in those states where abortion facilities, at least the brick and mortar abortion facilities, are closed permanently. But the abortion industry is fighting back. Not only are they taking women across state lines to abortion on demand states like New York and California, but they are also seeking wherever they can to, as I said, engraft this supercharged state constitutional right to access abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy up until the moment of birth in each state's constitution. And that's what they are trying to do here in Florida. They are trying to make Florida a permanent abortion destination state equivalent to New York and California. But we know we're not going to let them do that this fall.
Amen. Andrew, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you have a question about the abortion amendment that's coming up in November. We'll talk about that in a moment. Perhaps you have a question for Andrew in relationship to his ministry and saving babies' lives in the state of Florida. 84,000, I believe, Andrew, was the number of murders by way of abortion in 2023. 84,000 just in the state of Florida. I understand that murder by way of abortion is the number one cause of death, the number one cause of death in the state of Florida. I don't know about other states, but Andrew, there's a question that is burning in my mind. With all of the issues that we have facing America, the open borders, with the illegal invaders coming in, with the march and demonstrations across America for pro-Islamic jihadist movement, for all of those events that we see taking place that is really detrimental, all of them are detrimental to the nation. I find it ironic. I find it almost mind-boggling. I find it impossible for me to wrap my mind around why this murder by way of abortion is the primary push. Kamala Harris, for example, was in Jacksonville yesterday, day before yesterday, Joe Biden was in Tampa, Florida, both of them berating the state of Florida because of the bill that just went into effect yesterday, which is the 6 weeks ban on abortion. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here's the vice president, the president, traveling the red states, trying to demean the stand that some of the states are taking against murder by way of abortion. And you would think, I would think, that there would be more important things for the president, the vice president, to be doing to preserve the integrity, preserve the destiny, preserve the life of Americans and the constitutional republic that we have, more important things than just talking about abortion. But I find it egregious that that is the top of the thing. Listen, you can address it from your perspective, but it seems as though the top of the list of concerns that supposedly women have in America, top of the list would be, how can I murder my baby in the womb legally and not be prosecuted? Do you find that egregious? Do you find that unusual with all the things that's on the, what I would call the top burner, the economy in the toilet, the open borders, some 13 million illegal invaders have come in, and the Biden administration not talking about bringing in 5,000 Islamic jihadists out of Gaza, calling the Palestinians to give them a green card and work permits and citizenship just by bringing them in. Do you find it being egregious that these things are literally toppling the constitutionality of our nation, and yet the socialist Marxist Democrats, as I call them, put this as the top burner issue that the vice president and the president are traveling across the nation trying to impress the listeners to obey their desires to see murder by way of abortion? I don't know about you, but it is gravely ungodly, unholy, immoral, and I find it repugnant. What are your thoughts on that before we get into the deeper questions?
I agree with you 100%, Dr. Youngblood. It is very repugnant, and it offends the heart of God to have our country, which the framers, set up as a Christian-believing country, formed out of divinely, out of nothing, out of colonies that were in this wilderness centuries ago, and now to be to have the president of the world's superpower, sole superpower, come out and be, have his number one issue be the murder of innocent, unborn children in the womb is deeply offensive. It's deeply offensive to the millions of American Christians that populate our country. And it's disgraceful. And I think it's because the Democrats have nothing else to run on. See, they bought into the lie that the only way for not only women, but men and the entire population to be happy is if you don't have any children, you remain unmarried, and if you do get pregnant, then the only way to satisfy your own needs, selfish needs, is to kill that baby. And so they bought into that lie. And so that's what they're promoting. And it's a self-destructive narrative. And so all these other problems we see in the country are rooted in that culture of death mentality. It's really a self-defeating. And if we don't turn this around in our country today, we, in 100 years from now, the country may not even exist. And unfortunately, it's not from outsiders per se, although of course we have that big problem at the southern border, but it's our own internal leadership in the country. We are being subverted from within, and so that has traditionally, if you look at all of human history, that is what traditionally has undone major empires, if you will, or major countries. And so that's what we're seeing here. We need to turn it around. We need to turn back to God. We need to bring the name of Jesus Christ back into the public arena unashamedly.
Amen. Absolutely. In fact, Andrew, I have said for many, many, many years now that you can take any nation and the people of the nation will not be any greater morally, ethically, and spiritually than the leadership of the political apparatus and of the religious. You take the religious leaders in America, the political leaders in America, you will not find the Americans growing any closer to God than you see coming out of those two realms of leadership. And we see that being denigrated today on every hand. Andrew, tell us about this new Florida law, 6 weeks ban, went into effect yesterday. I find it refreshing. Tell us about the law, what it does, what it does not do. Then later we'll talk about where it's headed and what we can expect.
Well, the Heartbeat Protection Act, as the six-week prohibition on abortions is formally known as, went into effect yesterday, May 1st. Praise the Lord. It was long overdue. It had been passed by our legislature in the spring of 2023 and immediately signed into law by Governor DeSantis. Unfortunately, we were waiting for the Florida Supreme Court to basically give the green light on its implementation, which it did in a landmark ruling that came out on April 1st, so just a 30 days or so ago. And so that triggered now the applicability and implementation of this Heartbeat Protection Act, which is a wonderful thing. It's not perfect. The law is not perfect. It's not equivalent to what Texas and many other conservative-leaning states have on the books right now, but it's a significant step in the right direction by limiting abortion to under 6 weeks gestation with, again, unfortunately, some exceptions for rape and incest and other exceptions like fatal fetal abnormalities, which are really unwarranted. We could get into that, but those exceptions are totally unwarranted. But the vast majority of abortions in Florida after May 1st will no longer be taking place. And that is a tremendous victory in of itself. The first time since Roe versus Wade was handed down in 1973 that we have in Florida a strong prohibition on this evil, murderous procedure. And so I predict with the law's implementation, we are going to see at least half of Florida's currently operating 50 or so abortion mills. Though at least half of those mills, I project, are going to close in the next few months. And we're also going to see a significant decrease in Florida's abortion rate, which has been horrendous. As you pointed out, in 2023, we had over 84,000 children killed in abortions in our state. That's just unfathomable in a conservative-leaning state like ours. But we will see that significantly reduced. It's not going to make Florida totally abortion-free. That should be and has to be the goal. We need to close down all these brick-and-mortar abortion facilities because we know abortion is cheap. They're going to say a 6-week-year-old unborn child is really 4 weeks, so that they could, perform the abortion. It's kind of the state has to really go in and make sure that these abortionists are actually complying with the law.
That's the key to it. And one of the things that I find further egregious, we have a push, for example, Arizona. As you know, the Supreme Court in Arizona did a wonderful, I think, deed for the state, where they said that the 1864 ban on abortion completely, any abortion, banned completely in Arizona. Of course, they're fighting that. And they're pushing that as a cudgel, if you will, by the woke society today as what they're not. They're saying, we do not want that in Florida. We do not want that in other states, et cetera, et cetera. Now, a question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered. We're coming up on a hard break, so take just a few seconds, and then we'll take our break, and then we can continue it. What would cause Christians to vote for an amendment that would allow open abortion in Florida? The University of North Florida has already run a survey and said that 72% of Floridians will vote for the abortion bill or the abortion amendment. Why would you think that would be the case?
I think a large part of that is due to not being informed about the true ramifications of what this amendment would do, which is legalize abortion in our state through all 9 months of pregnancy up until the moment of birth. When that the word gets out about that, I think you will see though that the support for the amendment significantly decreases.
Well, I'm praying that that's what you and I will be able to help carry forth today. We're going to take about a one-minute top of the hour news break. Andrew, hold on for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.